Hello, hello. I am Crystal Craven, and I sing, I songwrite, I lead worship, and I am passionate about sharing what God inspires. And this coming up is your weekly devotional. All right. Well, as I'm sure you can tell, I am recovering from a little cold bug, and so my voice is not quite up to par, but we're not going to let that stop us. We are pushing right on through and continuing on with our devotional study through Luke. So let's dig in here, and this week we are in Luke chapter 21, verses 12 through 16. And it says, "But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it, therefore, in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up, even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death." Now, if we remember, Jesus had just been speaking about the end times, and now he's warning his disciples that persecution is coming, and we also, as his disciples now, should also expect it too. He told them that they would be delivered up, betrayed, and even hated for his name's sake. But I mean, after all, Jesus was also delivered up, betrayed, hated, and killed. So as followers of him and ambassadors of him who are representing him to this world, shouldn't we expect the same kind of treatment for his name's sake? And yet here's the thing. Jesus gave an unexpected command for when they were facing those trials. He said, "Settle it therefore in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer." Now, our natural response to pressure and conflict and betrayal is to rehearse our defense, right? To ruminate on every possible outcome, on every possible conversation. And it really is just all a way to try to grasp for control in some way. But Jesus tells us not to do that. Instead, Jesus gives us a personal promise that he himself will give us the words to speak. And he assures us of grace and wisdom in those moments of trial. And let's be honest with ourselves anyway, right? In what situations have we tried to control everything and we plan out what to say? Have we ever actually been effective in our witness for Christ? Well, we can't be, right? Because apart from him, we can do nothing. But Jesus said that this was going to be an opportunity to bear witness, not justify ourselves before men. So this is a call to trust, not to strategize. Our goal in the midst of persecution and trial is not supposed to be securing a particular outcome, regardless of whether we're being faced with deliverance or suffering, life or death. The goal is to completely trust God in this journey and continue walking in obedience with Christ, no matter where that path leads. And yes, some will live and some will die. But remember, nothing is outside of God's sovereignty. We can say with full conviction in the Spirit, just as Paul did in Philippians 1, "For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain." And we can do that because we know the Psalm says that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So rather than meditating on what to say in the face of opposition, we are called to meditate on the word of God and to let the joy of the Lord be our strength. And when trials come, we don't need to fear or frantically prepare. We only need to keep doing what Jesus has told us to do. Abide in Him. The same God who promises to give us words to speak is the one who promises to walk with us through those moments. Our hearts and minds can be completely settled and at peace in the Lord when we stay focused on Him. So when we're tempted to endless rumination, may we cry out to the Lord to teach us to trust in His promises, to give us those wise words, and to keep our spirits safe in Him until the end. And as Paul wrote from prison when he wrote to the Philippian church, may our heart and our perception be aligned with this as well. I'm going to leave you with what he wrote in Philippians 1, verses 20 through 21. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For blogs, written devotionals, and originally written songs, visit crystalcravenmusic.com. And that is Crystal with a K and Craven with a C.